Good morning. Today's scripture passage is Romans 12, verses 9 through 16. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. This is God's word.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to our Lord and our rock. Stephen O'Hara and I were just talking about how, you know, watching a church start from scratch into what we have today is, it's like watching a baby being born and then a little child grow up. You know, you think about when a baby is growing in the womb, you often think to yourself, am I ever gonna meet this kid? Right, it's such a slow process, and then they're born, and you're like, is this kid ever gonna look at me and smile? Is this kid ever gonna crawl? Is this kid ever gonna walk? Are they ever gonna talk? It just, things develop so slowly, and you can't wait, and you have to be patient. There were aspects of Deep Run Church 10 years ago that very much felt like this. Are we ever gonna see these things happen? Are we ever gonna see two more people show up in our living room? Are we ever going to have a public worship service, right? Are we ever gonna get a logo? Are we ever gonna see a conversion? Are we ever gonna see, you know, our own location, right? That we don't have to share with anybody. that process, patience, right? What grows a healthy church though? And right, there are so many things. There are so many necessary things that you have to think about and that you have to work at. Vision, right? Planning, study, leadership. Desperately, desperately, critically, you need leadership. And you need funding, and you need funding, and you need funding. And all of those things are so important, right? As Dan said just a minute ago, God doesn't often just land things in our lap. He calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to participate by his grace in what he's called us to do. Despite all of that, though, what grows a healthy church is genuine love. This is a very simple concept today, and it's not going to take long to talk about. We should appreciate God's authentic love for us. And we should seek to be authentic in our love toward one another and toward our neighbors in Carroll County. Let love be genuine, Paul said in Romans chapter 12. And he said that, when he said that, if you could read it in the original language that Paul wrote the letter, these are the words, genuine love. There isn't even a verb. It just says genuine love, kind of like a heading, right? Like genuine love, now I'm gonna talk about it. It's almost like a newspaper heading. Genuine love, Paul wrote. And then he follows that heading with several descriptors. He gets specific, he starts giving you examples. So for instance, what Ayla read, just look at verses 12 and 13. He says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. You get the idea? All of these descriptors of genuine love. And what's interesting is the word he used for genuine was a compound word that literally meant not hypocrisy. So when he says, let love be genuine, he's basically saying, let love be not fake. Let love be not hypocritical. Let love be not playing a role, but sincere, without hypocrisy. And the reason Paul lists all of those descriptive actions, being patient, praying, showing hospitality, is because these behaviors prove that our love is genuine. These behaviors, as we practice them, prove that our love is sincere. By this, Jesus himself said, by this, people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Why does the Bible place the highest priority and weight to love? Because love proves that your faith is genuine. Even correct theology and Bible knowledge does not prove that your faith is genuine. But Jesus said, love. While we work on all of that, love proves that faith is real. And we have aimed to cherish not only the gospel of grace and truth, but we have aimed at authenticity as we pursue the gospel. The world's way of loving is often superficial and ultimately inauthentic. And that sounds a bit harsh and unfair, because if you're with us and you're not a Christian, you say, of course I love. Don't tell me my love is fake. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Anybody can genuinely love. However, the way the world loves, when we don't have God's help, is superficial and ultimately inauthentic. So some of you know that's true by experience. Some of you have had bad religious experiences. You've been burned by some other church. You experienced some kind of trauma from a church environment or a religious environment or a religious leader or a person of authority. And that may have happened not because Christianity is fake, not because the Bible is inauthentic or untrue. No, no. All those difficult things you've gone through, that we've all gone through in the past, are the results of insincere expressions of love, superficial expressions of love. There are hidden loves, secret, unspoken loves that actually drive people to think and speak and act and plan the way they do all these things. There are hidden loves that drive our plans and our motivations. And those hidden loves are actually making us think and act and speak and plan for what we want for ourselves. And so what looks like love or what sounds like love is actually masking some hidden desire. So for example, it's a well-known expression in our culture today that love is love is love is love. And the more loves you tack on to that expression, the more sophisticated and open you sound. The reality is, love is love is love is actually masking a desire to make one's own personal choices the ultimate goal and not serving other people. Or you may hear a parent say, I love my child more than life itself. But an expression like that may very well be masking a parent's selfish hoarding of their own child. Hence, inauthentic expressions of love, which is the very opposite of who God says he is. Did you notice in our 10-year video, is that when I showed Becky the video a while ago, and she's like, you know, she made this point. I was like, I agree with you. I don't know any way around this. Did you notice that half the video it was only 4 minutes long, but half the video was composed of pictures and clips from the very early days? Like a disproportionate amount of pictures for all the years that we've spent together, and especially the recent years of tangible growth and development and progress, right? Did you notice that? Why is that? And why did I think it was okay to leave it like that? Not just because I was being lazy. Because good things and healthy things and lasting things take time to grow. So much of a tree's substance is beneath the ground, right? So much of a child's development is dictated from within the womb in the very earliest years of existence. a sign of inauthenticity, shallowness, cheapness, is quick growth. What often seems so impressive to us is often short-lived. What does the Bible say about love that makes it authentic, that makes it genuine and sincere? That it is patient. As Paul said in another letter, that love is patient. And he said at the end of that beautiful passage that love hopes all things, that love endures all things. And you have been patient. And you have, through many difficult and confusing times, hoped. And you have endured through much struggle. What grows a healthy church is genuine love. And this is true because Christ, the head of the church, is full of genuine, unhypocritical love. In this is love, the Apostle John said, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for justice upon our sins. And he said, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So appreciate God's authentic love and be authentic in your love toward one another and toward our neighbors. And after 20 years, may people say that this is still true among us. Let's pray. As we sang earlier, Father, thank you. Thank you. We were once your enemies, but we've been seated at your table as sons and daughters, as heirs. Forgive us for when we still want to feel like orphans. We want to build things our own way. We want to build churches and businesses and families and relationships our own ways. Forgive us for that. And we even ask, Father, that if we try to build things in our own ways, you would make them wither quickly so that we would realize we're doing it in our own strength. We pray that you would help us to continue to grow and water and nurture something that is good and beautiful and healthy, that will last generations beyond our short stay on this earth. Let it always be about you, Lord Jesus. And we look forward to meeting people that you have called to be among us. And we look forward to enjoying the feast of the Lamb when we see you face to face. Amen.